My name is Pastor Harris. I'm the lead pastor here at First Open Bible, and it's my honor today to bring God's word to you, and I believe God's got a great word. I'm very excited to preach this word. I'm very excited to see what God does in this word in your life, because he loves you, I love you, and we're going to give you the truth today. Anybody ready for the truth? Amen. If you don't want the truth, go to the church down the street. They'll tickle your ears. We're not here to tickle ears. We're here to change lives and be transformed. We're here to meet with Jesus, to be like Jesus. He loves you how you are right now, but he loves you enough, he will not leave you there. He does not want you to stay the same that you are right now. That is not where you are meant to be, bound to be. There is transformation, there is freedom, there is healing and wholeness, and it's waiting for you. Are you waiting for it? Hallelujah. We're continuing our series one more month, Tailor Made. Okay, all right. Somebody said, all right. That's how you say, by the way, that's how you say all right, not all right. It's all right, all right. You have some flavor in there. I love it. Come on. All right. It's good. So I say it too. Tailor Made. We're talking about what spiritual warfare is and what it is not. We're talking about real things that the Bible teaches, not things that we've conjured up in our own minds. Because there's significance in our spiritual armor, not only to withstand the onslaughts of the enemy, but also to overturn the tendencies of our carnal mind. You know, in Ephesians 6, we have a lot of different armor to wear, but all the armor we wear is to take the beating from the enemy, except for one thing that's offensive instead of defensive. What is that offensive weapon, church? Sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Jesus defeated the enemy, not because he was necessarily beating him up or whatever. He beat the enemy in the wilderness by the word of God. He said, see, the enemy likes to take the truth and twist it just enough that you kind of believe that. You live in the half-truth instead of living in the whole truth. And Jesus gave the whole truth and said, shut your mouth, devil. He's like, jump off this and the angels will catch you. And I know Jesus, he probably was tempted to just go, whoop, you jump off, fool, right? But no, he brought the word of God. You do not test God. We serve a good God and he loves us. He loves us so much, he wants us complete. I love what 2 Corinthians 10:4 says this, the weapons we fight with are not weapons of the world. Too many people fighting carnal things. Too many people fighting spiritual things with carnal weapons. It says, on the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. If you have your Bible app, go ahead and open it up. It's YouVersion. You can click on the bottom, click on more. You go to events, about 3-4 down. It's First Open Bible Church. Click on there. You'll have the notes, some of the notes from today. You can click save. You can enter in your own as well. But go ahead and follow along with us. Did you know that spiritual warfare is tailor-made for our wholeness? Spiritual warfare is tailor-made for everyone's healing. In the spiritual realm, we should often view people as prisoners of war. Anybody know somebody who's captive? By the things of this world or their carnal mind or the things that they're walking through, they're a prisoner of war. Maybe that's somebody in here today. Maybe that's a lot of somebodies. We have come like Jesus came to set the captive free. I love that Jesus quoted one of my favorite Old Testament prophets. Jesus says something in the New Testament that was found in Isaiah 61:1. It says, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me, for the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to comfort the brokenhearted and proclaim that captives will be released and the prisoners will be freed. Amen. We are kids in the kingdom. We are people with spiritual keys. We should be fed up and recognize that sickness and disease is part of the assignment of the enemy. Strongholds and addictions are part of his evil plan. I think it's time to set some captives free. What do y'all think? Amen? Do you want to be free? My wife and I have talked recently about this really great, powerful section in Scripture. where Jesus walks up to a man and the man has been crippled, he's been sick for a long time. And Jesus doesn't say, hey, do you want a hand out? No, he wants a help up. He says, do you want to be well? Do you want to be whole? Because so many people like to be in dysfunction. They like to be sick. They like to stay there. They're there so often, they just assume that's what normal is. Your brokenness is not normalness. Jesus says, do you want to be well? Do you want to be whole? Do you want to truly be healed? Do you want to be free? I came to preach today. Come on now. Proverbs 18:21 says this, the tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit. We need to quit giving life to sickness, strongholds, and addictions. Rehearsing sickness gives life to sickness. Rehearsing dysfunction gives life to dysfunction. Rehearsing strongholds gives life to strongholds. You need to stop affirming what God wants to heal. My wife wrote something on Facebook with that on there, and I was like, oh, I got to take that. That is powerful. Church, you sow what you sow, you will reap. If you sow healing, you're going to reap healing. If you sow unbelief, you're going to get unbelief. If you sow faith, it'll move a mountain, and you will see people healed. Here's one great way to never be healed or see anybody else be healed. Never believe for it. Never pray for it. Never have faith to see that moved. You're guaranteed that nothing will happen. And you will stay stuck, and so will they. Now, I cannot tell you why some people are healed and why some people are not, but that's not, you know, a lot of people ask me that, Pastor, why didn't they get healed? What? I'm not God. I can't answer that question. Here's what I can answer. I can answer what the Word of God says. The Word of God says, by His stripes we are healed. The Word of God says, lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. The Word of God says, we can move God by our faith. We please God by our faith, that we stand in faith and we see things move. I can tell you that. But why do some people get healed and some don't? I don't know. Why isn't your grandma, your great-grandma, your great-auntie, your great-great-great-great-grandpa, why are they still not alive? Let me tell you why. We live in a broken world with broken bodies. This body is not going to last forever. If everybody just kept getting healed until they're like, oh, by the way, you can't live past 120. There was a rule made. It's in God's word. Noah. Right? Has something to do with the atmosphere, something to do with the ark, something to do with all the rain and the water coming from underneath. Changed the atmosphere, it changed our world, and everything started dying quicker, including humans. By the way, some of y'all look pretty awful at 474 years old anyway. Let's be honest. Anybody remember the California raisins? Pre-Noah, okay. Praise God. Oh my. Yeah. Right? I can't sing like him, but I can dance like him. Okay. Oh, I just told you how old I am. All the young people younger than me. If you're younger than 40, you have zero idea what I'm saying. Praise God. Google it. You can find it on YouTube, I'm sure. It looks real grainy. But back then, it was amazing, okay? Praise God. Do you want to be free? Do you want to be healed? Do you want to be made whole? Healing is always the will of God. John 10:10 says the thief comes to steal. Oh, I'm sorry. He only comes. He doesn't just come. He only comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus said, I have come that they might have life and they might have it to the full, or fullness, or the abundance, depending what you read. You have a complete whole and everything you need in your life. By the way, some of you are discouraged because you're not getting what you think that you deserve. God knows better in your life than you do. You keep blaming God for the things He's not giving you. Guess what? Maybe He never wanted you to have it anyway. Maybe that thing that you keep desiring is going to break you. Quit asking for an American life, ask for a Christian one. Come on now, that's good. Oh, come on. Feeling an anointing. Oh, I take this off, but I'm too fat. Praise God. But come on, you stop it. You stop it. Don't worry, summer's coming. I'll get out of the house soon. Hallelujah. I'll eat chips on my walk. That's what I'll do. God's will is that everyone might have life and they might have it fully. That we would be healed and we would be whole. Jesus came to give us a sozo life. Sozo is the Greek word for salvation. It's the root meaning for salvation, but it goes a little bit deeper than just forgiveness of sins. In the New Testament, sozo is translated and it is used for these definitions. Sozo means save, rescue from peril and suffering, protection from destruction, heal, make whole, and deliver. Ephesians 2:8 uses this word. In the New King James, it says, "For by grace you have been sozoed, you have been saved, through faith and not of yourself, it's a gift of God." Let me read it with the definition of that word. It says, "For by grace you have been healed, rescued, delivered, and made whole through faith, and that not of yourself, it's a gift of God." Too many people trying to heal themselves. Self-help books. Running to the doctor all the time. Running to these things, and it's good. Church, I'm thankful that God wants to heal our bodies. I believe it. I believe in it. I'm thankful that God has given us modern medicine and modern doctors. But you got to pray first before you run there, okay? It's a great thing. Some people die when they could just take penicillin. That's just foolish. Pray about it. Something doesn't happen. Take the medicine. Oh, my goodness. Be healed. Okay. Praise God. God gave us a brain. We can use it. He gave us nature. We can use it. Praise God. So many people run to doctors, and we really focus on our physical healing a lot. Some people even focus, like a big thing right now is mental healing. I think counselors are very important. Psychiatrists are important for a lot of people. But church, today you came to a spiritual physician. You came because you're not just body. You're more than just body. You're more than just physical. You're more than just mental. You have a soul. You have a spirit. There's more to you than meets the eye. There's more to you than just the physical that everybody likes to talk about. By the way, a lot of doctors, they don't really care for you to be made whole anyway. They just want your symptoms to be better and so they can make some more money. Come on now. All right, I'm going to stop touching on that. I might come back to it. We'll see what God has. Hallelujah. The world needs a healthy and whole church to go out and help heal. Churches that don't just hear the word of God, but instead they actually let the word of God transform. James 1:22 says, "But don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. You must. Otherwise, you're only fooling yourself. You're only fooling yourselves." Jesus doesn't only care about your beliefs. The devil doesn't only care about your beliefs. Honestly, who cares what you believe? Everybody believes something. Oh, great. You believe something. That's awesome. But you know what? Jesus also cares about your behavior. He cares about the fruit that you produce in your life. A lot of people, this is the buzz thing. You can't judge me. Nobody can judge me. I can do whatever I want. The Bible says I can judge you. If you're a believer, I can judge you. How do I judge you? By your fruits. You got no fruit? That's easy to judge. Maybe your fruit's rotten. Also easy to judge. Your fruit's amazing. Also easy to judge. What good is a beliefs without a behavior? You can believe all day, but if you're not doing anything about your beliefs, it doesn't even matter. That's great you believe. What are you doing about your belief? The devil believes. His demons, they believe. Faith without action is dead. We've heard that. Belief without transformation is just information. I can believe this all I want, but unless I do something, unless I'm transformed, it's just information. I can get information anywhere I want. We got the World Wide Web now. We don't even have to think. We got ChatGPT. Right? You don't even have to think anymore. By the way, if you use ChatGPT, that's fine. But do not make that a habit in your life. Use your brain, the brain that God gave you. Amen? Don't let somebody regurgitate what you should be writing and you should be doing and you should be saying. But it's a good tool. But it should not be your complete function. This is just information unless I actually do what it says. Then it's transformation. A faith community needs to have a culture of health and healing. Otherwise, a faith community has a culture of offense and sickness. We need both belief and behavior. As believers, we should approach sickness and disease and brokenness just like Jesus did. We should speak life and wholeness with the power of the Holy Spirit. Speak to God about the problem. Don't just rehearse the problem. Also, let me give you something else. Stop begging God for what he's already provided. You got to change your prayer life. Oh, Father, if you would be willing. He is willing. He sent his son to die for you. Of course he's willing. Pray his word back to him. Because you are willing, Father, I stand on this truth. I pray for my healing. I pray for my wholeness. Father, even if it doesn't look like what I thought it should, I'll still give you praise because I know you're healing some way. Come on now. Stop begging God for what he's already provided. Change your prayer life. Pastor, I don't know how to change my prayer life. Well, that's probably because you don't know the word. Know the word, change your prayer life. Pray the word. It's that easy. You're welcome. Praise God. Mic drop. I'm out. Right? This isn't necessarily about prayer, but God is doing something. He's stirring something. Somebody needs to hear it. Proclaim his healing back to him. He loves to be reminded of his promises. You know who? One of my favorite people in all the Bible is King David. He constantly reminded the Father who he was and what he's done. And do you think the Father really needed to hear it? He already knows who he is, but he needed David to hear it. So David understood it. Even if my enemies are surrounding me, even if everything is in toil, even if everything is around me, they're coming after me, they're going to kill me, but you are my rock, you are my fortress, I hide in the cleft, you are my redeemer, you fight for me, you're my king, right? Pray back what God has already done. When we're talking about healing, we need to understand that all the anointing and all the love and all the power comes from Jesus Christ. In Christ alone, we are healed. Amen. We need to claim and stand on the healing that God gave us, either praying for others or praying for ourselves. We should speak life into that situation, for life swallows up death. Amen. True and lasting healing starts and ends with God's word and his presence. Isaiah 55:11 says, "So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it." Our experiences must be judged by Scripture, not Scripture judged by our experiences. I almost say it again. That's why I was letting it simmer. We like to tell God what he has done wrong. We like to manipulate his word based on what we're going through. We like to tell God where maybe he missed it. But our experiences must be judged by Scripture, not Scripture judged by our experiences. No matter what you face, he's still a good God. No matter what you face, he still wants you healed. No matter what you walk through, he still wants you whole. No matter what you are facing, no matter who has hurt you, where you've gone, he has always been by your side. He will never leave you or forsake you. Your experiences and your circumstances won't determine the difference of this word. This word is still truth. You can't change it. The word of God is the final authority. We speak to our circumstances with the word of God. We speak life. We speak healing. God's word rewrites and heals. God's word rewrites and heals all the lives, all the lies we have believed. Christians are called by God to establish God's word on the earth by removing the enemy's works from the bodies of humans. 1 Peter 2:24 says, "He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness." That's a key. Sometimes we only want this next part. "By his wounds, you have been healed." Did you guys see today the verse of the day? I didn't plan this. I don't even know who makes this. We're not friends. But this is what it says. Yet. I always want new friends. Isaiah 53:5 says this, "But he was pierced for our rebellion, crushed for our sins. He was beaten so we could be whole. He was whipped so we could be healed." I think God's saying something today. He's using a lot of avenues. He's using a donkey and the internet. Hallelujah. Praise God. I'm just playing. It's fun. Okay. Amen. Praise God. Christians, we're called to establish God's word here on earth. Jesus has already done it. That makes it a fact. "By his stripes, we are healed. So believe it, speak it, walk it out, live it out so we can eat its fruit." We are healed and we are called to help others be healed and set free. But we cannot lead people to places we've never been. So many people have a real hard time looking in the mirror and they want to help everybody else's problems, but guess what? Your problems are probably even greater. You can't lead somebody to wholeness if you're not whole yourself. You can't lead somebody to healing and you're not even healed yourself. So many people focus on so many other people's problems because it's really hard to look in the mirror and face your own. Not today. We need to grow so we can go. I think it's super important that we pray and expect people to be healed physically, but I want to ask you a question. Do you know what type of health God wants the most? Jesus wants your soul to be well. That's what he cares about most. Otherwise, we would say, "Jesus Christ, you were raised from the dead, you're the Lord of my life, I believe you in my heart, we shall be healed from my body." No, we shall be saved. He saves our soul. That's the first thing we come in encounter. We come in encounter with God's presence and we come in encounter with him. And when we come in encounter with him, what does he do? He heals the most important part of us right now. It's our soul. Because guess what? Our bodies will not live forever, but our souls will. He wants you healed from the inside out. Jesus wants your heart and he wants your mind to be transformed and renewed. He wants you completely healthy so you can help lead others into health. Spiritual warfare many times focuses only on the physical healing. "I plead the blood of Jesus and I plead that cancer will go and all this." That's good. I do too. I plead. But oftentimes the deeper wounds and the internal unhealth is unseen and it's left alone. We only like what we see, but God knows the innermost being of us. Here's the good news. God heals not only our bodies, but he also heals our souls. What's a soul, Pastor? The soul is the seat of your emotions. It's the seat of your will and your mind. The soul is where we feel brokenness, rejection, shame, and fear. It's where we act out the lies. It's where we act out the truth. It's what makes me me and makes you you. I am this crazy dude because God has given me a soul like this. This is how God has made me. It's not my physical body. This is my physical body. But that's not who I am. Who I am is inside of here. Even if I had a ripped body, my wife might like that, but even if I had this, you know, I'm still me. She likes a dad bod, whatever. I'm just claiming it in Jesus' name. I'm playing. That's just for fun. But seriously, who I am is my soul. It's my mind, my emotions, my personality, who you are. This body will die. This body will go back to where it once was, into the dust of the earth. But my soul, my spirit will live forever. And then one day, I get a new body. Bam! Right? Whoa! What's up?
Hey, what up? Right? What's up?
He's probably making me skinny and weird looking, but whatever. It'll be a perfect body. Amen. But my soul and my spirit, they live forever. 1 Thessalonians 5:23 says this, "Now may the God of peace make you holy," that's important, "in every way, and may your whole spirit and your whole soul and your whole body be kept blameless until the Lord Jesus Christ comes again." The scripture itself tells us we're not just a body. Our souls can be wounded. Psalm 42:11 says, "Why am I discouraged? Why is my heart so sad?" Soul wounds often show up in anxiety, anger, addiction, fear, manipulation, deep sadness, depression, or the inability to trust. These are not signs of weakness. These are signs that something deep inside needs healed. Church, we're more than meets the eye. There is more to us than just the physical. I'm going to ask you a question. Have you ever seen somebody who's physically ill? Because they are spiritually, emotionally, or mentally a mess. They are such a disaster inside and they don't want to deal with it that their physical body starts breaking down. You ever seen somebody like that? That ever been you? Because we're more than just our physical body. But Jesus wants them completely whole. He wants them healed. He will set the captive free. He doesn't discard broken people. He restores them. God doesn't waste your pain. He transforms it into his glory. You go from pain to purpose. Come on now. Somebody's been set free of something over here. Amen? Come on. Somebody been set free over here too? God used your pain and purpose? What about the middle section? What the enemy intended for evil, God will use for good. He's turning things around in my life. Not only am I not going to live there anymore, but I'm going to proclaim where I once was so those people that are living where I once was will be set free like me. And we're going to get out of here together. Come on now. We're going to get out of here together. You know one of the greatest things you could ever do? You could walk into heaven. You can be going through those gates. You can look back and there's an army of people behind you that you helped lead to Christ. Ooh, won't that be a wonderful sight? Somebody got to get set free so others can be free. Somebody's got to be whole so they can be whole. God desires to heal your soul because he is the restorer of souls. Psalm 23:3, he restores my soul. Jesus also came to heal the brokenhearted. Jesus said in Luke 4:18, says, "He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of the sight of the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed." Spiritual warfare is tailor-made for our wholeness. Spiritual warfare is tailor-made for everyone's healing and deliverance. Jesus sees what others can't, and he touches the deepest wounds that no one else knows about. Jesus doesn't just come to forgive sins. He came to make us whole. Let me tell you a quick example. I'm wrapping up here in just a second. There's an example in the Word of God. So there's this woman with an issue of blood, and you've heard this before, but a lot of times what we focus on is on the healing of the issue of blood. So this woman, she says, man, if I could just touch God, if I can get through the crowd, if I can just touch him, the hem of his garment, anything. And Jesus is in this huge crowd. He's in all these people around, and it's, you know, it's like a giant mosh pit. Jesus love, right? It's just crazy. This is amazing, all these people. And then all of a sudden, boom, Jesus feels the power come from out of him. He says, who touched me? And the disciples are like, man, you whack, Jesus. Everybody's touching you. We're in a giant crowd. No, he goes, no, somebody touched me. Church, there's one thing about touching Jesus, and there's another thing about touching Jesus. And so this lady touches Jesus. And then now all of a sudden, he's like, no, everyone stop. Who did that? Who is it that touched me? And here's what happens. Luke 8, 47, 48 says, when the woman realized that she could not stay hidden, she began to tremble. Why? A woman should never touch a man, especially in public, if it's not your husband. That's illegal. I think you might be able to be stoned for that. So she's trembling in fear to her knees in front of him, and the whole crowd heard her explain why she had touched him and that she had been immediately healed. I love what Jesus says. Daughter, he said to her, your faith has made you well. Go in peace. This lady's been shamed for 12 years. She's been an outcast. She's not been whole. She's probably the people that are in this crowd are the ones that make fun of her and say, she's unclean. You can't touch her. You can't eat with her. You can't be friends with her. She's probably completely an outcast because of her physical ailment. So what does Jesus do in front of the whole crowd? Probably the ones that go against her. This is what he does. He restores her dignity, her inner pain, and her outer sickness. Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace. And a lot of times it's like us. We find our identity in what is going on in our broken bodies. Just like her, she probably found her identity in her brokenness. She was identified as someone who is unclean. She owned that for 12 years. She probably identified that. And what does Jesus do? He calls her daughter, and he gives her a new identity. He heals more than her physical body. He heals to the absolute broken parts of who she is. And he doesn't do it by himself. He does it in front of a crowd. He says, all of you that have ever said anything about her, she is not only healed, she is made well. She is complete. She is whole. And she is my daughter. And you're like, hey, come on. That's the God we serve. Church, this morning, God wants all of you. Jesus wants to restore your soul. We're so good at receiving, and we're not so good at working on receiving. We're so used to hand-me-outs all the time, right? Anybody hungry? You can drive 2 miles and find 5, 6, 7 places to eat. Everything's in front of us. It's so easy. Let me tell you something. Christianity is not easy. Being made well and whole is not easy. It's going to take work on your part. Jesus did everything he ever has to do. Now you have to walk it out. If you want to be whole, you cannot be immature in your Christianity. You cannot be immature in your brokenness. If you want to truly be whole, let me tell you some things that need to take place. First, you have to allow Jesus to shepherd your wholeness. Here's what you need to do. You need to desire. This is countercultural of what we're used to. You need to desire discipleship. You need to desire hard and real conversations. The Bible says in Proverbs, it says, harsh words from a friend is better than kisses of an enemy. We're so used to having kisses of an enemy, and then somebody comes to us and says, hey, listen, you're acting a fool. You have no fruit in your life. I don't even know if you're a Christian half the time. You say one thing at church and you do another thing at home. You're nothing like you once were on a Sunday morning that you are on a Tuesday morning. That ain't right. You're a Christian. Every day of the week, God has delivered you from this. So quit acting like that. You need people like that. But you have to desire that you don't get all offended. You can't tell me what I'm doing. Yes, we can. You're a believer. I'm a believer. Your fruit is dirty and nasty, right? Clean it up. God has paid more than you are showing in your life. You don't have to live like that anymore. That's the old self. I got a new self. I got a new place. I got a new mind. I got a new mouth. I got a new eyes. I got new hands. I can do new things. I've been made new in Jesus. But you got to desire discipleship, hard, real conversations. Here's one that people hate, and people hate that. How do I know this? I've tried to do this to other people, and they absolutely hate it. And then they blame me for everything, and then they leave the church, and they're mad, and I'm like, Lord, did I do anything? And he says, I'm still working on them. Release them. It's this word. It's called accountability. Oof. Nobody likes accountability. My job as a pastor is not just to preach you on a Sunday morning. If God puts it upon my heart to hold you accountable, it's because I love you and he loves you. I want to hold you accountable because I want to see you have breakthrough. I got people hold me accountable. Anybody married in here? Hey. A good spouse will hold the other one accountable when they're not doing, and they'll hold them too when they don't know what to do to get out of it. They'll hold them. They'll love them. They'll walk them through it. Here's another thing. If you want God to shepherd you into wholeness, you need to actually want true freedom. Don't microwave your faith. Followers of Jesus, you got to be in it for the long haul. You know how many people I see that all of a sudden they come to the altar and things are better for 1 week and they think everything's better until it's not. You need to do it for the long haul. Just because it's been better for 2, 3, 4, 5 weeks or a month or two and your life has been a disaster for 10 years doesn't mean you just microwave it and it's all better. You got to walk out your faith, right? You have to, this is not a sprint, it's a marathon. You got to choose every day to die to that, and it will not be easy. And if you're just going to be led by your emotions, and 1 week you microwave this, and 1 week you microwave that, and oh, I'm delivered this week, but then I'm bound this next week, and oh, I'm feeling good because we're getting along this week, but now we're not. It's like, hey, guess what? Be steady. Stand on the rock. Quit getting hit with all the emotions and the waves. He wants you to be steady. You need to have a track record of health. And then somebody can say, oh, now you're whole. Come on now. Am I speaking to somebody today? Five people over here, praise God. Come on, girl. Yeah. That suit's pretty dope, by the way, for sure. I don't know if you heard me over there, but I love it. It looks good. All right, here it is. Last things I'm saying. If you want your soul to be restored, there's four things you need to do. You should start with this. Number one, you got to be honest before God. Be honest. Psalm 62:8 says, pour out your hearts. Pour out. Don't give them a trickle. Pour out your hearts to him, for God is our refuge. You must bring your pain into light. Now listen, hear this. You can't heal what you won't reveal. Number two is this, receive and give forgiveness. Holding on to bitterness is like drinking poison and expecting someone else to die. Jesus teaches us to forgive, not because that other person deserves it, but because we deserve to be free. Number three is this, trust God's word and be open to God's presence. Psalm 19:7 says this, the law of the Lord is perfect, refreshing the soul. God's word speaks life to broken places, and God's word breaks the lies of the enemy. God's presence brings a peace that surpasses our understanding. He might not take you out of it, but he'll be with you in it. You know what else God's presence does? It brings a love that covers a multitude of sins. Fourth is this, community and counsel. Sometimes God uses others to help healing through confession. I'm not a Catholic. We're not Catholics, right? You don't have to confess to me in a confessional. You confess to the one who has paid the price, our one true mediator for all time. You confess to Jesus. You can go to him. But the Bible does teach us that a lot of times healing comes with confessing our sins to one another. Jesus gives us salvation, and sometimes healing happens when we confess to each other. We share with each other. We carry that burden together. We sharpen one another. We walk out life together. Sometimes God uses others to help bring healing through confession from friends who will listen, not just talk. If you're the friend that talks all the time and you don't just listen, shut your mouth. They need you just to listen. You got to be quiet. Let them just get it out. Don't always try to fix things. I'm bad at that. I like to fix things. Just let them talk. And then in your head, while they're talking, fix it. That's what I do. And I tell no one. Okay. Community counsel, counselors who guide and people who will pray. Brent, will you come? A shattered soul keeps us from God's presence. A damaged soul keeps us bound in the lies and makes us unhealthy. Some people, I'm speaking to somebody in here as we close. Don't tune me out. This is where God does the work, right here. This is where he does the work. Some people in here are not seeing a breakthrough in your life. You're not seeing a healing. You're not experiencing freedom because your heart is hardened. Matthew 13, 15, Jesus says this, "For the hearts of these people are hardened, and their ears cannot hear, and they've closed their eyes, so their eyes cannot see, and their ears cannot hear, and their hearts cannot understand, and they cannot turn to me and let me heal them." God is able, but the question is, are you willing? Is your heart open to be healed? Church, stand with me, please. Isaiah, will you lower lights, please? You may be here this morning. It's almost afternoon. 1 minute. You may be here today feeling like your soul is in pieces. But know there is a healer. Let him into the hidden places. Let him speak truth where lies have lived. Let him be the shepherd of your soul. Let him restore your soul. Church, we're going to take a moment, be still before God. Right here's the time. If you have to go, go, but don't have a conversation here. This is the sanctuary of God, and God is going to do a work in people's lives. If you got to go, go. I want to ask you some questions. I want you to open up your heart to him. It's time to be honest. And sometimes it goes, why do we pray with our eyes closed? The Bible never says you have to close your eyes when you pray. By the way, it doesn't say you have to take off your hat in church either. For those of you judging, that's an American thing, not a biblical thing. Look it up. Prove me wrong, okay? Love you. Jesus, he wants us to open up our hearts. So I want to ask you some questions. So we close our eyes a lot of times in prayer because we're trying to get rid of the distractions around us. That's why we close our eyes. It's easier to focus on the Lord when we close our eyes. Otherwise, we're looking around and seeing things that can distract us. So if you feel like closing your eyes, you can. If not, do your best to just be in the presence of God the best you can. Let me ask you this. Where is your soul wounded? Who do you need to forgive? And maybe that person's gone. Maybe they've passed. You can still forgive them. You can write them a letter. You can send them a message. You can call out to God as if you're talking to that person. Here's another question. What do you need to release in your life? And what living lie needs to die and be replaced with God's truth? As your eyes are closed and you're just spending time with the Lord, I'm going to read a verse. Prayer teams, if you'll come to the sides here, each side. There's some people here that want to pray for you, okay? This altar is going to be open. You can make where you're at an altar if you want, but the sides are open as well with the prayer teams. If you do need to have a discussion, please have it out there. Open your heart to God right now. I'm going to read a scripture to you. If you guys can go just a little bit further over, that'd be great. Linda. Hey, Linda. pastor's over here. Will you mind going over there, please? Yeah, we need more space for the altar. Thank you, appreciate it. All right. Jeremiah 17, 14 says this. Heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed. Save me, and I shall be saved. For you are my praise. Father, we love you. We trust you. Thank you for caring about more than just what other people see. Thank you for caring about all of me, all of my mind, my emotions, all the things that are broken, all the things that are healed. You care about my joy. You care about my brokenness. You care about my happiness. You care about everything in my life. You care, you care, you care. It's our turn right now to throw our cares upon you and see what you will do. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Heal, set free, and deliver. Make us whole.